Have you ever really given much thought to that? We know that when Mary was spoken to by the angel of the Lord and told that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and that she would conceive and that which was in her would be holy and by him the world would be saved. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have run through her head and the emotions and the feelings that she must have had? I mean, do you whip him? Just think about it. And I can't answer those questions. But I'm sure that as she began to watch the miraculous things take place, when she saw that water be changed to wine, when she began to see the deaf ears to hear and the blind to see, and when she began to experience all of the things that we read about in God's Word of the miraculous signs that he did. Because you see, he went about everywhere working with his disciples and confirming his word with signs and wonders. You ever wonder why you don't have signs and wonders anymore? Are they obsolete? Are they outdated? Has God grown old, weak, feeble, senile? Heck no. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's a shortage of the miraculous taking place in your environment, in your world, where does the problem lie? Right here. Oftentimes because of my lack of expectation. Oftentimes because of my lack of faith. Oftentimes because of my disobedience. Oftentimes because me trying to be God instead of letting him be God. Oftentimes I don't realize that the timing of God is as equally important as the will of God. And I get the cart before the horse, so to speak. Luke chapter 2. Before I go somewhere else. Luke chapter 2. Not fully recovered yet, but I'm working on it. This old voice is still weak. Y'all pray for me. I hear some pages still turning. I'm kind of waiting. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city or where his own ancestry was from. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said unto them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I don't have to elaborate a lot of time tonight on the Christmas story, because most of you, probably all of you, know that as well, or maybe even better than I do. But we do need to rehearse it in our minds. We do need to remember that, because one of the foundational stones upon which Christianity is built is the virgin birth of Christ. He was not just a good man. He was not just a strong man, a smart man. He was the Son of God. He was not conceived of man. He was conceived of God. The Holy Spirit placed in Mary that seed. It's the Son of God. And oftentimes we tend to trivialize his deity. We look at him so much in the humanity, and we should see him how he lived as a man, because he was fully man but fully God. See, he was the Word, but he became flesh and dwelt among us. So while we need to see him as a man, live the example that should be to each of us as to how to live, we have to always remember that it all came about beginning with a miracle. The miracle, the miraculous conception. But you cannot separate the virgin birth from the cross and the resurrection, because it's all fitly tied together and joined together, because Jesus came for one purpose: to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem us. And I don't have to spend a lot of time tonight, I'm certain, on how to be saved, what Christianity is about. I know that so many people nowadays, as I was watching the news the other day, and there was a manger scene. Right next to it, somebody came and put up a 6-foot atheist sign. Did you see that? Which they're entitled to do. They have the right to do that. Reminded me of a story I heard one time about the atheist filed suit over that same situation. They got to court, and a wise, very wise judge, kind of like Judge Waddell, who comes out here, he listened to the case, and this atheist was upset that he didn't have his day. The judge says, "You do have your day. It's April the 1st, amen. April Fool's Day. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Amen. That ain't no joking matter. But here, what I want to talk to us about tonight, I listen to people dialoguing all the time. "Well, you shouldn't have a tree. That's pagan." Looks pretty to me, don't you? Especially with that lariat rope on there, it makes me want to go rope something. So what I want to do for just a few moments tonight, and I know this is totally different, but I want to talk about the components of Christmas and how we as Christians should relate to those that we see. For example, the tree. When we look at a Christmas tree, we should be reminded of that tree on Calvary's Hill. We should be reminded of the cross that Christ bore for us. When we look at the lights, we should think about Jesus, the light of the world. When we see the star that would represent the Holy Spirit as it directed those shepherds, it will direct us. It will lead, guide, and direct us not only into all truths, but where he wants us to go. He'll direct us through life. He'll give us discernment. He'll give us warnings and cautions. He'll give us nudges and a little prompting to go this way or to go do that, just like he did Pete and Tammy with this truck stop ministry. The Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, will lead, guide, and direct us into all truths. He'll teach us all things. Now look, in Greenwood, all means all. That's all means. He'll teach us all things. Here's the thing. You have to have a teachable spirit. You have to have an ear to hear, to want to hear what the Spirit of God would say. You've got to be willing to not have to have it your way. You've got to be willing to change and to adapt to the things that God would instill in your heart. Now listen, let me tell you this. It'll never contradict His Word. It'll always align with His Word. There ain't no new revelations going to come from God that's going to contradict this. You understand me? If you hear a word from God that's opposite of what this said, you heard something from a wrong God. Just that simple. God does not contradict Himself. So after the star, I think about the presence. That should remind us of the gift that God gave us, the gift of eternal life. The gift of salvation, the gift of not having to die a death and be separated away from God eternally, the gift of life. When I think about the wise men, you were talking about the manger scene a while ago and how they came and brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And what all of that represents, and I almost preached the message tonight about those three things and what they each represented. And, of course, the gold is fit for a king, and I may go ahead and preach it anyway. No. The frankincense, well, I'm going to move on. That's to be continued. But the wise men should remind us to be seekers of the Savior. See, they came from a long way looking. They were seeking the Savior that they had been told about. Let me tell you something. Wise men still seek Him. Wise men still seek Him. Are you seeking Him? Then we see the innkeeper. Stop and think about this. I'd never really paid much thought to this until I read something Duke showed me that Jimmy Evans sent. And I hadn't been able to get it out of my mind the last couple of days, but imagine this. All of these people going to their ancestry cities to do the census that Caesar has ordered. And the towns are overwhelmed and inundated with people. That's evident in the story that there was no room in the inn. He was a busy man that night. I mean, can you imagine? They're calling down, the heater ain't working, my remote's not working, it won't change the channels. He's busy. Don't miss this. And he hears the, and he opens up the door, and there's Joseph and Mary. Full term. Here's Christmas. Here's the Christ. Christmas at the door of his city, this city, this inn. Yet, but he's busy. The Lord told us, take heed lest we become entangled with the cares of life. And I want you to know something. We can get so busy doing good things even, not necessarily sins, but we can so be so busy going about doing good that the next thing you know, when the Lord's standing there knocking at the door, we'll be too busy to invite Him in. We won't have time for Him. We won't have a place for Him. We won't have any room for Him in our lives. You're too busy when you're at that place. That innkeeper represents those who, when the Lord does knock at the door of our heart, for He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open up, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. That innkeeper represents those that say, no, not today, some other time, maybe later on. Can I tell you, the devil's, one of his favorite words is procrastinate. It's always put off, always studying God's word. Put off praying. Put off taking out the garbage so the wife won't get mad at you. It's always later, delay. put off. God is a God of today. Today I stand at the door and knock. Today salvation has come into your house. Now is the time. He's not a some other time God. He's a right now God. Are you a right now person? Or are you going to be like the innkeeper? But see, we see the when he didn't have room for them, they went where? To the stable, to the manger. This represents those that would receive him, those that would open up to him and recognize the fact, just like the shepherds and just like the wise men, this is the King. This is the King of Kings. Do you know something? Even animals. Yeah, he's gone crazy now. Even animals are aware and know when God's presence is moving. Remember Balaam? Going down the road, there's an angel. That old Balaam, he's riding a donkey. Man, most cowboys don't like riding a donkey. He's riding that donkey, John. Donkey kept going off down in the ditch. He's trying to make him get back on the road, and trying to make him side pass, move over, but he's just still going off the road. Finally, that donkey turned around and said, "Don't you see that angel standing in the road?" None of your horse ever talked to you like that? Mine ain't ever talked to me like that, but he has talked to me before. Went in the barn and asked him how many oats he wanted. Raised his tail and went, phew. You get that, huh, Cecil? Forgive me, Lord Jesus, I mean. But those that would receive the Lord. I want to challenge you tonight, and I'm going to close. Are you going to be like the innkeeper? Not have time for the Lord? Or are you going to be like the wise men that come seeking the Savior? Are you going to be one of those that will say, "Lord, I'm here today. I feel you knocking on the door of my heart. I feel your Holy Spirit convicting me that you came to this earth to die just for me. You were born to die for me. During this holiday season, I want to accept that gift of eternal life that you've come to provide, to give." I want to ask you to bow your head. And